name is Chris, and I'll be your host. We are a weekly podcast that's here to generate and share self-care ideas with each other. Last week, I had the profound pleasure of interviewing Miss Heather Jones with Curvy Yoga PDX. And oh my God, seriously, there was so much insightful content in our conversation. I got the opportunity to sit down one-on-one with her and talk about, you know, the importance of building a support system and surrounding yourself with supportive people that build you up, not tear you down. And I know that I personally learned a ton of great stuff, not only about yoga, but also about prioritizing and being mindful. So thank you very, very much to Miss Heather Jones. And if you missed out on that amazingly fun conversation, you can find all of the past episodes on our website. It's www.selfcareissexy.com. Or you can search us on iTunes or SoundCloud. Okay, so a few quick housekeeping notes before we get started. First off, thank you so very, very much to John Tucker, Margaret Linder, Jesse Wood, and Barb Sylvie. Yay! Thank you guys so much for your generous donation to my GoFundMe campaign. This campaign was in order for me to raise money for better recording equipment for this show. So thank you so much. Big, big shout out. Hugs and love and all that stuff to you guys. Thank you very, very much for your support. Second, please take a moment to find the show on iTunes and write up a review. It would mean so much to me. It takes just a few moments and it helps to boost exposure. And the more exposure we have, the more people we can help. So please take a moment, write up a review on iTunes. Finally, we have our first Self-Care is Sexy brunch coming up here in Portland. It's next weekend, the 22nd, at the Vita Cafe. And if you're not able to attend, no problem. We're going to be broadcasting that brunch virtually. You can find all the details on Facebook and make sure to email me if you want to attend the brunch virtually. The email is Chris, K-R-I-S, at selfcareissexy.com. Okay, you guys, so into today's show. Originally, I was going to roll out the Self-Care is Sexy survey. Now, don't worry, it is coming, but it's going to have to be next week or so. And the reason is I had some life circumstances come up. You know, we all have life happen. So I decided to speak from the heart today and talk to you about a subject that I'm currently dealing with. And so I'm here to talk to you about overwhelmed, overloaded, and overbooked. And oh my God, I am all three at once right now. And that's just kind of how life happens sometimes. You know, if you're really into your self-care and you've been kind of following along and you're trying to make yourself a priority and you're on board, you've bought in, you're with us in this community, you probably already have, like me, implemented a system within your life to ensure that you don't get to the place where you're feeling overwhelmed, overloaded, and overbooked. But there are some instances where you just cannot avoid it. And obligations that we have to attend to take many forms. A lot of us have to work. I mean, we have to make money to survive. And a lot of us have chosen professions that are pretty demanding. And so when that's the case, that's where the overwhelming feeling can come in, because you have to attend and give that obligation your attention. And so there are other things around you that will be, for lack of better words, depleted because of that attention and focus on our jobs. So here's what I want to share with you, what brought this up. I just recently started my dream job that I've been really dreaming about for 4 or 5 years. I went back to school to educate myself in a particular field. And I had in my mind when I first went back to school, this amazing, fun, fast-paced kind of, you know, epitome of a law office in my mind. Well, it turns out when you really have clear dreams, they actually come true. And I'm so incredibly grateful for my job because it's amazing and I'm learning a ton and the people are great and it's awesome. But I really feel like I need to do a good job. I really want to meet my deadlines and put out professional work. So with that comes a lot of obligative work. So I got, last week, I got a summons in the mail for jury duty. Now, if you know me, I'm a giant civic nerd, and getting jury duty was a double-edged sword. I'm extremely grateful to serve my community in this fashion and be a part of this incredible experience. But as you can imagine, sitting for 8 hours a day in a courtroom listening to a legal battle and then having to sandwich it in between going to work early, going to work during the lunch break, and then going to work afterwards to get my obligations met has been completely overloading. And so I wasn't able to roll out my podcast on time, and that made me feel pretty bad because I have promised myself that I would roll out an episode every week because I believe that self-care is something that is so important for me to learn. And I want to make sure that people who are learning it alongside of me are getting the content that they deserve as well. So I found myself in this particularly crazy situation where I have to try to work an 8-hour shift in between an 8-hour jury duty. So it's been quite challenging. So as you can imagine, I'm getting up at, 5, 6 in the morning, running to work to try and get a couple hours in, then heading over to the courthouse, then on the lunch break, running back to the office, trying to check emails, get things done. It's hard to communicate and get tasks done when you're only in the office for a few short hours, 3 times a day. And then last night I ended up working until 8 o'clock at night, just to get a deadline met because, I said I would, and that's how I am. I'm the kind of person that does what they say they're going to do. And what that inevitably means is something has got to give. So unfortunately it was the podcast, but don't worry, I've got some amazing content coming up. So just hang in there with me for this episode. So then after I sort of took a moment last night in the fury of, I've been here for hours and it's 15, 16 hour day. My mind is melting. I had kind of a breakdown moment where I wanted to cry. I was trying to do so much at once, and the project that I was working on really took a lot of mental focus and concentration. And after a whole day of jury duty being focused and trying to mentally concentrate on the content of that circumstance, it was really pulling me apart. And I kind of felt a moment at work last night. The cleaning lady came in and she kind of waved at me. This is the third night in a row she's seen me late. Yes, I worked Sunday. That's how it goes. So this is the third night in a row she's kind of been there late and come into my office. And so she comes in and she kind of, nods her head at me and I hand her my trash can. She says to me in very broken English, not good work so long. And I thought to myself, probably. She's probably very right. But then I also thought, she works a hard job too. And we all have moments where we have to buckle down and just give it our all and grit through it. Now, here's where the self-care part comes in. While I agree that there are some circumstances that cannot be avoided, that absolutely is not sustainable. I knew when I got my jury summons and was picked to be on the juror that I was going to have to rearrange some things in my life because that now meant a full day's worth of work was going to pile up for me. And I knew that that meant I was going to have to put in some extra hours on top of the jury duty and that things weren't going to go as planned. And so it was challenging at first to accept, but I think all of the self-care work that I've done up until this point has really groomed me to handle this kind of situation much better. If we were to rewind even just a year or so ago before the self-care sexy became a priority in my life, I would have, you know, worked all of these extra hours, come home, clean the house, done the laundry, taken care of the sick partner, run to the grocery store, fill the gas tank up, you know, do all the things all the time, and then get a couple of hours to sleep and load up on coffee and do it again. And that would have, and I would have plowed through this week, headstrong, hyped up, crazy, and probably a little emotionally incapable. And at some point in this week, again, rewinding a year ago before self-care, I probably would have broken down, had a major meltdown, and you know, napped for several hours to recover. And I have to attribute my ability of getting through this kind of a stressful situation to all of the self-care tips and tricks that I've been implementing in my life as a part of rolling this content out to you. Every DIY project, every interview, everything I bring to you, I consider first. And I go through the process first so that I can understand fully, does it work? And, you know, sometimes these ideas might not work for you, and that's fine. But I have to keep coming up with new ideas and trying new things because the need for self-care is so malleable. You know, it changes quite often with the circumstances of our lives. So in looking at this hectic week with all these demands and all these things that I cannot control right now, I really did last night after I had the interaction with the cleaning lady, I took a few minutes at my desk and I thought, okay, what can I do right this second, right in this moment of, you know, in the trenches of being completely overwhelmed, overloaded, overbooked with all of these obligations? What can I do? I'm in triage mode. I know I need the self-care. If I don't do something for myself, if I don't balance this out, I'm going to wig out and it's not going to be good and all of my obligations are going to suffer. So I sat down last night, 8-ish at work after 14-hour day of work and jury duty. And I came up with this list of things that I'm going to do this week to ensure I don't get to that point where I completely break down. I love making lists. It helps me tremendously to focus and keep clear what it is I need to do. And I make lists in all parts of my life, at work, at home, for this podcast. It's just, it's very helpful for me. And if you find yourself living in a kind of overwhelmed, overloaded, overbooked, sort of fast-paced situation, and it seems like it's been pretty consistent for you, I would highly recommend that you get a passion planner. I have one myself, and I love this thing so much. So this passion planner is, it's a lot more than just a day planner that schedules your life. It also is a journal. It helps you with goal setting, and it's just been a huge tool for me. So if you find yourself completely overwhelmed a lot, and or having to break plans a lot, this will help. So it's something I'm working on. I highly recommend it for you. And the list making and the passion planner, for me, like I said, it helps me focus on my goals, and it also gives me this great feeling of accomplishment, just crossing things off. And I have lists for all kinds of things. It's not just the grocery list. It's, you know, goals, books I want to read, movies I want to watch, things that I'm working on within myself, things that I want to research for the podcast. So that passion planner is kind of like this incredible tool that helps me put it all into perspective. And one thing it really helps me do that I really recommend for anyone, regardless if you pick up the passion planner or not, is it helps me to let go of that perfectionistic thinking that, you know, I have to get it all done. I put it in my passion planner and I kind of leave it be, you know, it's like one less thing I have to worry about or think about or take care of. So I created this list in the midst of utter chaos last night, and I would encourage you that if you're identifying with some of the things I'm bringing up, if you are also overwhelmed, just try one of these 10 tips that I came up with, and just one, and implement it into your week this week and see, and then reflect back on that after you've implemented it and finished it and see if it helped. See if it worked for you. You know, for me, in the midst of this really overwhelming week, I was able to just take a breath and just make this list and then immediately make choices to give myself the self-care I needed. Okay, so here we are. This is my list of 10 things to do in the midst of self-care triage. All right. Number one, sleep. I know it's repetitive. I've said it a million times, but you guys, there is nothing more important than your sleep. And it is one of those things that I think we all sort of say, well, I'll just go to bed a little later. You know, it's the easiest thing in our schedule to sort of push back, especially if you've come home and, you know, your mind's been going a mile a minute and you want downtime to just kind of relax and sort of decompress. And, you know, you're wound up from the day, you can't immediately go to bed. For me, after last night, if I would have gone to bed like at a regular decent time, I would have come home, had 15, 20 minutes of decompression, then I would have had to go upstairs and hit the hay. And unfortunately, that's not enough time for me to kind of decompress, you know, downshift to a relaxation mode. So sleep is the thing that kind of goes out the window when things get chaotic. So for me, I decided last night, okay, I need to get sleep. It's a priority. No matter what happens this week, I'm going to do it. Number two on my whole crap, I need a triage list of self-care. I decided I'm going to let the house be messy. Now, if you know me, you know I'm kind of a neat freak. I like my house to be picked up. I feel, for me personally, I need my environment to be decluttered in order for me to focus and do things well. That's just kind of the way I've been. In all through college, I had the cleanest room ever because I would need my room to be clean in order to focus on getting my work done. Same thing at work. My office is the neatest, cleanest office in the law firm, I think, because I have to have everything organized and in piles and in priority. I don't work well in chaos. So it was a big deal for me to allow myself and to just say, you know what? The sink has got to be full of dishes. The laundry has to sit in a basket for a day. Things, I have to let go of things being done in the normal course of how I like things done. I have to just let that go. You know, I'm a neat person and I like things. I don't like to search for things. So I like my things put away so that I can just, you know, there it is every time I go to get it. But I just have to let go of that right now because there's just not enough time. And of all of the priorities and of all the things I've got going on, it's the one thing that I'm just going to have to let go of. So while it's uncomfortable and I don't prefer it, sometimes you just got to let your house be messy. You know, and if somebody decides to pop in unexpectedly when you have decided to let your house be messy, if they're good friends, they'll understand. If my bestie were to walk in the door and see my house, she would know that I was having a chaotic week. She would know that something was wrong and that, you know, I had to let the house go. But she wouldn't think any less of me. And I wouldn't feel embarrassed because I know that my friends and those that love me will understand. And if someone comes into your house when you haven't had an opportunity to clean and they start judging you, just know that that's not on you. Don't own that bullshit. That's not on you. You know, life happens. We can't all be Donna Reed because turns out Donna Reed had all day to do that kind of cleaning, cooking, housekeeping. Like, taking care of a house is a full-time job and we all have full-time jobs. So can't do both at the same time. Sometimes something's got to give. And believe me, for me, that was really hard to let go. All right, number three, plan recovery time. You can bet your sweet ass that I've got some serious recovery time coming up. After this week, I plan to have a couple days where I have nothing going on. Unfortunately, it can't be this weekend because I do have prior obligations, but I do know in looking at my passion planner that next week there needs to be a lot of white space, a lot of like reading, walking, resting, doing nothing. So that's a big thing. Number four in my list of 10 ways that I can get my triage self-care in, vent but not wallow. So hopefully you have someone that you can go to that you can just sort of unload and just be like, ah, it's so hard, ah. But don't stay there. Don't wallow in it. Look, shit hit the fan for me this week. It's going to be challenging. I'm working through it, moving on. You know, you don't want to bring everyone down around you, and you don't want to perpetuate that thinking of, oh my God, this is so hard, this is so hard. You know, vent it out, let it go, and then move on. And hopefully you have a support system around you that will allow you to let that out without judgment. And if you don't, hey, come to our self-care brunch. We'll listen to you. It's this weekend, by the way, in North Portland. All right, number five, treat yourself. Now, this could be, you know, buy yourself lunch, get yourself something nice, maybe a book or something that you've been really wanting to read. For me, it was get an Uber. I ate something last night, came up with this idea, like, I'm burned out. I can't walk home. My brain isn't functioning, and I just want to eat dinner and go to bed. And the quickest way to do that is to get a ride home. So I dialed up the Uber on the phone and got a cab and got home quicker. So you have to kind of get creative and think about what it is you need and give yourself permission to take what you need. Yes, taking an Uber for just over a mile is pretty shallow, but I needed to do it. You know, I needed to get home and be in my sanctuary and turn the day off as quickly as possible. The other thing I have been doing this week, I've been allowing myself to buy lunch out. I typically eat, you know, and make my own food and take it with me. But this week I've just said, you know what? I'm having a difficult time, and this is a way to give myself a little bit of care. You know, go get something that's quick, convenient, good for me, and fills me up, and I don't have the hassle of carrying a lunch bag or trying to squeeze it into the small fridge at the courthouse. So figure out what it is you could give yourself right away, and treat yourself to something nice in the midst of the chaos. Number six in my triage list was ask for help, which for a lot of us is really, really challenging to do, and I appreciate that. But you got to do it. You got to ask the people around you to support you when things are chaotic. Because again, if you're really buying into this self-care is sexy idea, then being overwhelmed, overloaded, and overbooked is not your daily goings-ons. That's not your default mode. It just so happens to pop up every once in a while, and we can't help it. So when it does pop up, asking for help is really an important way to let your support system help you. You know, it's a give and take when you create a support system around you, and I'm sure you've given to the other people that you're going to ask for help for in the past. So allow yourself to receive the help, and, you know, allow people to help you in the manner in which they're able to help. Maybe you ask someone for a ride home from work at 8 o'clock at night, and they're not able to do that. And that's okay. But maybe they can help you, you know, the next day by bringing you lunch or doing something nice for you, or maybe doing the load of laundry for you or something like that. But just ask for the help that you need to get through it. Number seven in my self-care triage list, I put pack and plan ahead, whether it's snacks, workout outfits, water bottles, whatever. When you know you're going to have 14 hours away from the house, pack and plan for it. You know, I did take some snacks with me, and I took my walking shoes with me so that I could try to get out and walk around a little bit after sitting for hours and hours on end in the courthouse. You know, walking around has really helped, just getting some fresh air, clearing my mind, even if it's only a few minutes between, you know, one task to the next, just a quick burst of that sunshine and fresh air really, really helps. Number eight of my list, do not fill up your free time. So when you're feeling overwhelmed, overloaded, overbooked, and everything's jammed into one day, if you happen to find yourself with like a free moment, do not, and I repeat, do not use that free moment to take on other pending tasks. Look, the whole reason you're feeling overwhelmed, overloaded, and overbooked is because every second of your day is filled with something. So when you find yourself in that situation, if a free moment should arise, something gets canceled, or somehow, you know, you find yourself with an afternoon off or something, don't fill it with other things that need to get done. Actually take that gift of free time that you've been given and utilize it to decompress, to kind of take a moment. And that gets me to number 9, which I said on my list, to walk, to go take a walk, or to breathe, maybe some meditation, whatever you do. Just get out of your head. Remove yourself from the chaos as much as you can while you're in it. And that leads me to number 10, which is quiet time. This is hard for me because I am a go, go, go kind of person. And so, you know, I had to turn off the TV. I had to turn off the podcasts. I listened to a ton of them. I had to just really dial it down and just sit and be quiet for a minute. And that was challenging because, you know, my mind is racing with all these things I've got to get done this week. But just taking that beat and saying, okay, you know what? Life is going to hit me at full force the second I sort of snap out of this quiet time. So I'm just going to be here, be present, be now in my quiet time, and just relish that 5-10 minutes to not think about all the things I need to get done, but just relax and just focus on my breathing and realize that this is not indicative of how my life always is. It is not always like this. It just so happens that, you know, the dial is turned up, the gas pedal is to the floor, and things are going a little hectically, but that is not how my daily life is set up. It just so happens that this one particular period of time has got to be, you know, balls to the wall crazy right now. So another quick thing, and this wasn't on the list, but it's something that came up for me, is that I had to make the decision this week to be as comfortable as I possibly can. Meaning, you know, I have a ton of wonderful fashionista type clothes, but I decided to myself that this week I needed to be comfortable. So no high heels, no pumps this week. I just wanted to be in clothes that made me feel good and confident and beautiful, but not restrictive or uncomfortable, especially since I'd be sitting all day, and especially since I needed to feel comfortable amidst the chaos. So I just want to recap real quick the ideas that I came up with in the midst of feeling completely overwhelmed, overloaded, overbooked. I came up with 1, sleep; 2, let the house be messy; 3, plan recovery time; 4, vent but not wallow; 5, treat yourself; 6, ask for help; 7, pack and plan ahead; 8, don't fill your free time; 9, walk, breathe, get out of your head; 10, be as comfortable as you possibly can. All right, you guys, that's what I came up with. That's my list of 10 things that you can do if you find yourself in a chaotic crisis mode and you need immediate self-care. It helped me to make the list and make the decision not to let this current feeling of overwhelm really overpower and rule my week. I'm going to make it a priority to recognize that this has been chaotic and crazy, and only I can control the pace at which it's going. By doing these 10 little things, I'm going to put myself in a better place for next week. Okay, you guys, I really appreciate you listening to today's episode, and I hope that these tips helped you. You know, let me know how you're working through feeling overwhelmed, overloaded, overbooked. Send me an email. And if you have a self-care sexy topic that you'd like to talk about, reach out to me. I'd love to have you on the show. And if being interviewed is not your thing, no worries. There are plenty of other ways to get involved. You could be a guest blogger for the show, or just show up to one of our self-care sexy brunches. The next one is May 22nd in North Portland. You can find all the details on our Facebook page, or just shoot me an email. Next week, I'll be rolling out the Self-Care Sexy Survey. It's 20 questions to help you identify where your self-care needs are, and of course, some tips and tricks to get you the self-care you need. Thank you again for listening. And remember, self-care is sexy. We're giving you permission to put yourself first.